And sixthly and lastly, wisdom. Wisdom means, in the Buddhist context, intuition, transcendental intuition, if you like, of the unconditioned of reality. It means seeing reality face to face, not thinking about wisdom, not thinking about reality, not entertaining ideas about it, but seeing it directly, face to face, and experiencing it for oneself. This is wisdom. And there are many formulations. One of the most popular is in terms of what we call the five knowledges. The five knowledges being the five principal aspects or modes of wisdom, just like the five facets of a jewel. So let's take a look at each of these in turn. First of all, what is known as the knowledge of the Dharma Dhatu. And this is the basic knowledge. This is wisdom, intuition of reality, per se. The other four are only partial, limited aspects. The word Dharma here means reality. And the word Dhatu means a sphere, or a realm, or a field. So Dharma Dhatu means the universe as the sphere of manifestation of reality, or gravitational field of reality. Or it means, we may say, the whole universe as pervaded by reality, as the space is pervaded by the sun's beams. A knowledge of the Dharma Dhatu means knowledge of the whole cosmos, knowledge of the whole universe, as pervaded by, as non-different from, ultimately, the unconditioned reality itself. And this knowledge, the knowledge of the Dharma Dhatu, is symbolized by the figure of Varochana, the illuminator, the white Buddha, the Buddha of the center. Next, we have the mirror-like knowledge, so-called because the enlightened mind sees everything. Nothing is hidden from the enlightened mind. There's nothing it fails to see. It looks through, pierces through all veils. It understands the true nature of everything. It sees everything in its ultimate depth, its ultimate reality. And it sees everything with complete objectivity, with complete impartiality. Mirror-like knowledge reflects all objects, just like a mirror reflects without distortion whatever is placed in front of it. The mirror reflects the objects, but it isn't touched. It isn't tainted by the objects it reflects. They don't stick to it. And it's the same with the mirror-like wisdom. It reflects all things, sees all things, knows all things, understands all things, pierces and penetrates all things. But it's not touched, it's not affected, it doesn't stick. They don't stick to it. It's perfectly free, perfectly independent. There's no subjective reaction. There's complete, pure, perfect objectivity. The mirror-like wisdom just reflects the whole of existence, nothing but reflects. And this mirror-like wisdom is symbolized by Akshobhya, the imperturbable one, the one who cannot be moved, the dark blue Buddha, the Buddha of the eastern quarter. And then again, knowledge of equality or sameness. The enlightened mind sees everything with complete objectivity. There's no reaction. It sees everything in the same way, sees the same reality in everything. And on this account, we may say, it has the same attitude towards all. It's even-minded towards all, has the same love towards all, the same compassion towards all. It shines impartially, just like the sun's rays, without any differentiation, any distinction. Everything is equal for it. Everything is the same for it. Everything is one for it. And this knowledge, the knowledge of equality, of sameness, of oneness, is symbolized by Ratnasambhava, the jewel-born Buddha, the yellow Buddha, the Buddha of the south. After this comes the all-distinguishing knowledge. The mirror reflects everything equally. At the same time, the mirror does not confuse or blur the distinctive features of things. It reflects a rose as a rose, a tree as a tree, a man as a man, a mountain as a mountain. It doesn't merge and blur them all together. And this is very important. It means that the enlightened mind does not only see things in their unity, in their oneness, it sees them also in their diversity. And it sees them in both these ways together. Sees them as all one, sees them as all different. Sees their unity, sees their common essence, but sees them at the same time in all their unique, unrepeatable, ineffable individuality. And for this reason, philosophically speaking, Buddhism is neither monistic nor pluralistic, but both, and more than both. In Buddhism, in Buddhist philosophy, unity does not obliterate difference, and difference does not obscure unity. Both are there together, unity and difference, difference and unity, unity in difference, difference in unity. And this all-distinguishing knowledge is symbolized by Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, the Red Buddha, the Buddha of the West. And lastly, the all-performing knowledge. The enlightened mind devotes itself to the welfare of all living beings. It helps living beings in whatsoever way it can. It devises various, what are called, skillful means, ways of helping, means, methods of working. But it does all this naturally and spontaneously. It doesn't have to think things out. It just functions purely, simply, freely, spontaneously, and everything gets done. In a sense, it does nothing. In another sense, it does everything. And this knowledge, the all-performing knowledge, is symbolized by Amoghasiddhi, the infallible success, the green Buddha, the Buddha of the North. So these are the five knowledges exhibiting five different aspects of wisdom. And having described wisdom, we've now described all the six perfections, all the six transcendental virtues. And these are arranged, as we've pointed out before, the six virtues, the six perfections or transcendental virtues are arranged in three pairs. First of all, giving and uprightness. These represent, between them, the altruistic and the individualistic aspects of the spiritual life. And then second pair, patience and vigor. These represent the feminine and the masculine approaches to the spiritual life. And lastly, meditation and wisdom. These are the internal and external dimensions, as it were, of the enlightened mind. And all these pairs of opposites, individualistic and altruistic, feminine and masculine, external and internal, all these pairs of opposites, the Bodhisattva synthesizes and balances in his own enlightened or well-nigh enlightened mind, and in his life, therefore, in his spiritual life, there's no one-sidedness. This, then, we may say, in brief, very much in brief, is the Bodhisattva ideal, the ideal of attaining enlightenment, not for one's own sake only, but for the sake, for the benefit of all sentient beings. And as I've already said, this Bodhisattva ideal, this ideal of attaining enlightenment for the benefit of all, is of the very essence of the Mahayana form of Buddhism. The Bodhisattva ideal, we may say, even, is the finest flower of Buddhist spirituality and the most powerful and emphatic statement of the theme of the higher evolution.